Well, that song is, to me, is perfect for this day. Jesus, we say thank you to you for your great love. Let's pray together before we start. Father, thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your holy word that you have given us today. And as we examine your word this morning, I pray that your people will be blessed. Father, thank you that you have made the final sacrifice for us. And now that the sacrifice has been made, you have lifted your hands and you have pronounced blessing upon your people. And I pray that this day we would all know the blessing of relationship with Jesus Christ. You are worthy of all our honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Hopefully you've kept your finger there in Numbers chapter 6. We're going to be looking at this great blessing. I don't know if you know or if you saw the news this week, but during this week, I don't know if I can emphasize that enough, this week, biblical archaeologists made one of the most important discoveries ever in Israel. And this is very exciting news. A lead tablet was found. And it is said to be dating back to the time that Israel entered into the Holy Land. We have never had an artifact that has been discovered that it can be dated back that far, that is related to the people of Israel. And this oldest discovery ever in Israel, it actually has some things on it that concerns witness of Scripture. And it's important because it has inscribed upon it the covenant name of God, Yahweh, or what is translated in the Bible as the Lord God, the Lord Yahweh. This, y'all are not even getting this, because I'm about to get real excited about this. We have now, they just announced this week, it was actually discovered in 2019, but they just announced it this week, that this tablet that has this saying on it, has the covenant name of God, Yahweh, dates all the way back until the entrance of the people out of Egypt into the Holy Land. What this tells us is that we know for a fact, like we didn't already know, that the people of Israel worshiped the one true God, the covenant name of God, Yahweh, the Lord. It's an amazing find, and it serves to witness that the earliest Israelites worshiped Yahweh. But I want to be cautious to just bring to your mind and remind you this morning that this discovery is not Scripture. The discovery is not Scripture. It testifies to some things that we believe, but I want to read to you the entire inscription. This is what they believe it says. Cursed, cursed, cursed. Cursed by the God Yahweh. You will die cursed. Cursed, you will surely die. Cursed by Yahweh. Cursed, cursed, cursed. Well, now we've had church. Let's all go home. Now, I want you to understand very clearly, I'm extremely thankful for the discovery because at least twice the covenant name Yahweh is given to us in this oldest of findings. But I want you to be very clear this morning. That is not Scripture. And the message that is given there in its overall sense is not It is not the bang and the woof. It's not the wave of Scripture. God has not come to curse. God has come to bless. He did not come to curse the world, but to bless the world. Everybody knows John 3:16. Almost everybody forgets to talk about John 3:17, which says that the Son did not come to condemn or to curse the world, but to save it. God has come to save. The covenant God Yahweh is a loving God, a kind God, an everlasting God with everlasting love, and he has come to bless. Not just bless his people as a whole, but to bless you as an individual. He didn't come to curse you. He came to bless you. Now, somebody in here needs to hear that today. Because you think that God has not been able to get over what you've done, as though whenever it is or whatever it is that you did, that as soon as you did it, God gasped, fell off of his throne, said, can you believe that? God has done everything that is necessary to cover, to, here's a good theological word, for to propitiate your sin. His blood has covered your sin that you might be forgiven, that you might be saved, that you might be blessed. God didn't come to expose your curse. He came to expose the blessing that God desires to put on your life in Christ Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, the scriptures testify of God's purpose to bless. In Adam and Eve, in Genesis 1:22, it says that God came and he blessed them. All the way to Revelation 22, verse 14, where it says that God has come to bless his people. I want you to think about this with me. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 22, God, after he creates, he sees that he's created Adam and Eve, and it says that the Lord blessed them. Now, in case we get hard-headed, and forgot, in Genesis 1:28, just six verses later, God says it again, that he came to bless them. God wants to bless you. Even in our curse of sin, the greatest curse that's ever been levied upon humankind, God came not to perpetuate the curse, but to initiate the blessing. So he came to bless. But then the Bible, as we move through Genesis, and by the way, I'm going to preach Genesis all the way through. That's a joke. Not only did he bless Adam and Eve, he blessed Noah and his sons. And then we come in Genesis 12. See, I'm already to Genesis 12. He comes to Genesis 12, and he has this man, Abraham, and then things begin to change, and he says, now I will bless Abraham who you bless. So he gave now to the people of God the opportunity not only that they would be blessed, but they would be able to bless others, and that God would bless who the people of God blesses. And so what happened? Well, Abraham blesses Isaac. Remember that, instead of Ishmael? And then Isaac blesses Jacob instead of Esau, right? You following me? Old Testament history? Then Jacob blesses his 12 sons, but particularly blesses Joseph, who's delivered into Egypt, and then the people of God all come down to Egypt and are found in captivity. But then God delivers them out, and he brings them to the promised land. And you remember this transference of blessing, of the ability to bless others, continues on until it comes to the priesthood, to the tribe of Levi. The Levites were the priests, the pastors. And the Bible tells us that every morning when the morning sacrifice was made, after the sacrifice had been prepared and the sacrifice had been offered, after that was over, the priest would raise his hands and he would look out upon the people and he would pronounce this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's what the priests were supposed to do. In fact, we see in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 8 that there are really three things that the Lord had told the priests that they were supposed to do. It says that God had created the ark. This is after Moses comes down with the second group of tablets of stone. Remember, his face was shining, all that stuff. We're going to get to that in a minute. And he puts the commandments in the ark, and the priests were to carry the ark of the covenant. The priests, the pastors, are to carry the word of God. That's what a pastor's supposed to do. Pastor's supposed to give the people the word of God. But then it also says that he's supposed to stand before the Lord and minister to him. Not only are the pastors supposed to preach, but they're supposed to pray. They're supposed to intercede to God on behalf of the people. Now, I don't know about you, that sounds a whole lot like Acts chapter 6 to me, where the deacons had come. We'd established the deacons because the Greek widows and the Hellenistic widows and the Jewish widows, and there's a little arguing, bantering as a Baptist church are going on and on. And so they established the deacons so that the pastors would not neglect praying and preaching the word. That's exactly what Deuteronomy 10:8 says, that they're to carry the ark that holds the word of the Lord in it, that they're to stand before the Lord and minister to him. And then it says one last thing. This is what every pastor ought to do with a congregation. Preach the word, pray, and then it says, and bless them. And bless them. So today, my last opportunity to bring the word of God to you today, I want to do just that. I want to bless you. I want you to be blessed today. And so we're going to look at this passage in just a moment. And I want to explain a little bit to you. I want to do what every expositor is supposed to do. I want to read the text to you. I want to explain it. And then I want to apply it by blessing you. It's interesting, as we look at Numbers chapter 6, you see in the blessing there, beginning in verse 24, going through verse 26, three verses, three lines. Each line has two verbs. We're going to do a little grammar here this morning. Each line has two verbs. One of the phrases, the first phrase is expressing the blessing. The second phrase is explaining the blessing. The first phrase expresses the blessing. The second explains the blessing on each line. So I just want to go through these three blessings with you this morning. And I want to pronounce this blessing to you as a part of my pastoral duty. I want you to see this morning, first of all, God's personal involvement brings blessing of protection. I want you to see this in verse 24. God's personal involvement brings blessing of protection. Let's look at this in verse 24. Let's start again at verse 22. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, all right, it's not in my notes, but I got to go here for just a second. This is a God who speaks. The God that we worship, the God who has saved us, is a God who speaks, is a God who's spoken, is a God who has given us his word, is a God who has made himself known to us, is a God who has not hidden himself, he's revealed himself to us. He's shown himself to us. He's given us his nature, his character, his attributes. In this book, God has spoken to us, and he's given us everything that we need for life, and life abundantly. It's all right here in God's word. I've heard it before. I think I heard it last week. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to do the work of God. You need to be a people of this book. I don't mean just carry it. I mean read it. I mean memorize it. I mean study it. God has spoken. I want you to see this. That's part of God being personally involved in our lives, as he brings blessing because of his personal involvement. He's spoken. God is personally involved in blessing you. I want you to see this. This word bless, it literally means to kneel down. Now, I want you to see this. Come here, buddy. Come here. I got this little friend who's going to help me. You know what? We're going to have to come up on stage so everybody will see this, okay? I'm going to do this a couple of times today. I want you to see this. This is what God means by blessing you. The word literally means, watch this. The word bless means to kneel down. Have you had a good day? You have? Are you excited to be at church today? Yeah. Do you like being at church here? Yeah. Have you been a good boy for mom and dad? Yeah. Yeah. I had to question a little bit, didn't you? Yeah. Do you see what's going on here? You've all done this with your children, right? See, if I stand over him and hover over the top of him, I can intimidate him, right? But I've gotten right down here with him, right? Me and you talking. He knows that I care about him. This is the way that God has blessed us. This word blessing is a relational word. All right, you can go sit down with mom, okay? Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Do you see it? Do you get the picture? When God says that he wants to bless us, don't think of it like this, that God's going to send blessings. God's not sending blessings. God is the blessing. He is the blessing. And he gets down right with us, right at eye level, and he tells us that he is here. He's personally involved with us. He looks eye to eye with us. He looks you straight in the face. This is God's great involvement with us. We do that all the time with our children, just like that. You don't do that. You usually don't do that kind of thing if you're going to scold them. You stand over the top of them if you're going to scold them. God is not looking to scold you. He's looking to bless you. Now, will he scold you? I've been spanked a few times. But what he desires more than anything is to love. God's not far off. He's come close in order to bless you. And I want you to see, this is the Lord's blessing. Look at the blessings here. Look at this. The Lord bless you and keep you. Verse 25, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. This is God's blessing. God is the one who blesses you. Yeah, you have lots of friends and lots of family. You have a great church. You live in a great place. But I'm going to tell you, your blessings don't come from your government. Listen, your blessings, although there are many people who mean many things to you, ultimately blessings don't come from friends or family or, listen, not even from your church. Blessings are from God. James chapter 5, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. God speaks to us, and he is blessing us. In fact, verse 27, look at this. It says, so shall they put my name upon them, upon the people of Israel. I want you to say, and I will bless them. The way that is phrased in the Hebrew, it says, and I myself will bless them. It's like God is reiterating to us, I will, myself, I personally am going to bless them. God is the blessing. And God brings the blessing when he comes and when he's in your life. He speaks, he talks, he brings us good news. Good news. I want you to hear that this morning. The personal involvement that God has is that he brings good news. And what is the good news? The good news is the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we were lost in our sin, enemies of God. But once enemies of God, he is now, as the song said, he's now welcomed us to his table, to eat with him, to join in with him. This is good, joyful news. Some of you, you think God, when you think about God, you're kind of like, oh boy, oh, what am I going to do, God? I hope he's not mad at me. I hope he's not grumpy today. I hope he's whatever. Listen, this blessing, this is called the Aaronic blessing. It's the brother of Moses, Aaron. This blessing that was pronounced morning by morning by morning after the sacrifice, there was a stipulation that was put on the priest, and here it is. The priest could not be grieving. He could not be in conflict with someone and give the blessing. He had to be joyful. He had to be okay. Things had to be, I'm telling you, when I read that this week, I thought, Lord, you're going to have to make me good this week. You're going to have to make me good because I've been grieving. You're going to have to make me good. And you know what? He has. And I want you to hear this morning. God has good news. God has good news for you, Arrow Heights Baptist Church. God has good news. He wants to encourage you and to bless you. Not only that, but I want you to see this, that it's extremely personal. Not only does he say that it's the Lord's blessing three times, but look in your scripture. Don't look at me, look in your scripture. That passage right there, it says, it uses the personal pronoun you, Y-O-U, six times. And it's always in the singular. God does not say y'all. He says, you, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Listen to me this morning. Everybody look up at me this morning. God wants to bless you. You. You put your name right there. God desires, he wants, he longs more than anything to bless you. It's very, very personal. God came to save you. God came to forgive you. God came to rescue you, to know you, to bless you. This is incredibly personal. This is what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 6. You remember this passage where he talks about, does God not care about the birds of the air and the lilies of the field? Does he not dress them? Of course he does. He provides all of those things, not only spiritual blessings, but actual physical blessings, the things that you need. God blesses you with all of those things. And then he says this so beautifully, seek first the kingdom of God and all of these things will be added to you. Don't be anxious about anything. Philippians 4:19. He says that he will provide all of our needs according to his riches and glory. All of your needs. And the you there is singular. It's you. God is personally involved with your life. And I want you to see this. His personal involvement provides blessing of protection. See this? The Lord bless you and keep you. And keep you. Doesn't mean that nothing that's ever harmful or bad or difficult. It doesn't mean that none of those things will never, ever happen to you. But it does mean that nothing can prevent God from being personally involved to bless you. He will not let you go. Isn't that good news today? God will not let you go. He has sought to bless you, and he will keep you so that he can continue to bless you. He can keep you. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. He will protect you. Listen, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving to God, let your requests be made known to him, and he will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That sounds a whole lot to me what Jesus said when he said, seek first the kingdom of God. He will guard your hearts and your minds. Romans 8:31 through 39. You remember this? Who can separate us from the love of God? Height nor depth nor angels, principalities, powers? Nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's God's personal involvement to bless you and protect you. In John chapter 10, it says, I'm just going to turn there real quick. Come on, you all turn there with me. I'm not hearing pages turn. John chapter 10. There you go, I love that sound. John chapter 10, verse 27. Look what he says. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. You hear this? That is God's blessing of protection upon you. They may kill your body. They may even strip you of your rights. But if you are God's child, he has marked you in a way that Ajax can't rub away. Some of you have no idea what Ajax is. God's personal involvement blesses you with protection. So I want you to hear this morning, church. May the Lord bless you. And may he keep you. I want you to see second, God's presence brings blessings of pardon. God's presence brings blessings of pardon. Look at verse 25. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Now, I don't know about you, but I cannot read that phrase, make his face to shine upon you. I can't read that without thinking about Moses. Moses who wrote this. It's the obvious reference. When he came down from the mountain the second time, and his face, you remember, was shining with God's Shekinah glory when he had been talking with God for 40 days. You remember the first time that Moses came down with the tablets? Man, I wish I could have been there. All of the people are worshiping the golden calf. They're getting all crazy up in there. They're doing all kinds of nutty stuff. Moses comes walking down and he gets really ticked off, right? Throws the stuff, blows up. I mean, Charlton Heston's just blowing stuff up left and right. Boom, right? God, 3,000 people die because of their sin, and God says, I'm going to wipe out the rest of them. And I'm going to start with you, Moses. Just start over with you. And Moses pleads. He pleads with God. These are your people. Please don't do that. And God says, come back up on the mountain. And he comes back up and he's there for 40 days. And God has conversation with Moses. And in order that the people would know that God's presence is with them, he puts the Shekinah glory on Moses, on his face. And he walks down from that mountain. And you can imagine what the people thought, right? In Exodus 33, that place where Moses prays and God forgives, that's where Moses says, God, show me your glory. You remember that? He says, show me your glory. And God says, you can't see my face, but I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. I'll pass by and you can see the backside of me as it comes by. And then Moses makes the new tablets. He stays there for 40 days. And if you have your Bible, just turn over to Exodus 34. Actually, look at chapter 33 first. And I want you to see this. This is just incredible. Exodus 33, verse 14. And he, being God, said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. In other words, if your presence is not going to be with us, God, don't want to go. Wherever you are, I want to be. It reminds me of the deal between Ruth and Naomi. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. I'll be where you are. And then verse 16 says, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we're distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? And then Moses says, show me your glory, God. He puts him in the cleft of the rock. He passes by. And then in chapter 34, Moses goes back up on the mountain. He converses God for 40 days face to face. And then he comes down and he has the presence of God with him. God's face had shined upon Moses. And the people knew that God was with them. And I cannot read this and not think about Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. Do you see? Just like Moses walked down the mountain and the presence of God was all over him, God at the right time sent down his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, to purchase them back, to buy them back, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Oh, I just love that. That's what God has done. His presence brings us blessing. In fact, turn over to Galatians chapter 3, Galatians 3, verse 13. Talking about that buying us back. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us. He bought us back from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. I've told you many times, little words mean big things. That word for, F-O-R, look what he says again, becoming a curse for us. Circle, underline, bracket, whatever you got to do. For us. It means in your place. He stood where you stood. He took your penalty for your crime. God has redeemed us. He's bought us back. That's what God was doing when he sent Moses back down with another set of the tablets. He was buying back the people of God. Why? Because he loves to bless. He loves to bless. Christ's presence brings pardon. Do you see again in Numbers chapter 6 where he says, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. You ever been in an argument with somebody that they were so piping mad that it looked like their face was going to pop off? Like they're, don't point. This guy back there pointing at his wife. Like, you can just tell from the look of their face, and it's almost like glowing, like nuclear. She's just gone nuclear, right? That's not God. Some of you think that that's God. Like, he's upset with you about all these things. It's true, God does not like sin, but he has already taken care of sin. He has already resolved the sin issue. If we just believe and repent and trust him, he's already taken care of it. When God comes and he comes to your face, he makes his face to shine upon you, and he's gracious. He's kind. He's loving. That's what he's telling. God's presence brings the blessing of pardon, to forgive. Christ has come. God's presence is here, and he seeks to bless you. Let me ask you, do you know the graciousness of God in Jesus Christ? Do you know God's grace in Jesus? Do you know his pardon? Do you know that you've been forgiven by God? The Bible tells us to draw near to the presence of God, and he will draw near to you. So the priest would say, may God make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Well, we've seen the blessing of protection through God's personal involvement and the blessing of pardon through God's presence. One last blessing. One last blessing. God's pleasure brings blessings of peace. Look at verse 26. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This idea of lifting up his countenance upon you, it's not the same as his face shining upon you. This is an expression of God's favor. To lift up his countenance means that God finds pleasure with you. You've got to know that this morning, church. God finds pleasure in his children. As a Christian, don't you want to know that God finds pleasure in you, even if you're not a believer? Surely you would want God to be pleased with you. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, this pleasing of God comes by placing our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ. To trust him as a child, trust as a father. This brings pleasure to God. It causes God to lift up his countenance. I got another illustration for you. Let me see that little boy. Let me see my man. Brooks, come here. Oh, come here. Come here, buddy. Oh, yes. He knows Pastor Andy. I want you to see. Come here. Oh, hi, Brooks. This is Brooks. Hi, Brooks. Hi, buddy. Hey, now you see, if I hold him like this, am I lifting up my countenance upon him? No. Hey, Brooks, look up at me. Look up. Hey, boy, look up. He has to lift his countenance upon me, right? But I want you to see this. Hi, buddy. Oh, you're a good boy, aren't you? Your mommy and daddy love you so much. And you know your pastor loves you so much, too, don't you? You're a good boy. Do you get it? Do you get that? God lifts up his countenance upon us. He lifts us up. I'm going to let you go back to mom and dad. Thank you. You did perfect for the illustration. They're like, good, take him back to the nursery. Do you get, hey, bye, Brooks. Do you get this? Do you get the picture? I want you to see this. This is God's blessing upon your life. God picks up his child. When you hold a child like that, you know the pleasure that's in your heart of looking at that child and looking into his face, how you care for the child. And the picture is, I've got you. You're in my hands. I will hold you. I will keep you. You are safe with me. And I will keep you. I wish I could keep you like this forever, right? Oh, I can't do it with my teenagers, right? This is God lifting up his countenance upon you. joy and pleasure and love. And the baby sees it, right? I mean, as soon as I held him up, he almost lost his binky because he was smiling at me, right? God expresses. As God holds you, you must know this morning that God keeps you. He's gracious to you. And this whole blessing, it builds to this last part. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Peace. It's the word shalom. You know that word, shalom. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible to John. John chapter 14. And verse 21. Almost done. John 14, 21. I want you to see this with your own eyes. Whoever keeps my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. That says that we love God. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. In other words, the pleasure of the Father is expressed to the children. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now drop down to verse 25. These things I've spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Peace. That's what God wants to give you. That's what God gives you when he expresses his pleasure to you. You need to hear this morning. God is pleased with his children. And he wants to give you peace. Peace in your mind. This word shalom, it's not like peace that like we need to have between Ukraine and Russia. I get that. That's not the kind of peace he's talking about here. He's talking about a settledness in your spirit, in your soul. It is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, that's the kind of peace that God's talking about. Peace that just washes over our hearts and our minds and settles us. A stability of soul. It's on the mountaintop and in the valley. Read the 23rd Psalm and you'll realize the word peace doesn't come up at all, but that's what the whole thing's about. Are you at peace? I'm not talking about a no-stress day. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, are you at peace with God? Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 expresses exactly this kind of peace. The Apostle Paul tells us, therefore, since we have been justified, or since we have been made right with God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see that? We have peace with God. We're no longer enemies with God. The book of Romans tells us that before we come to salvation in Jesus Christ, when we've rebelled against God, we've done our own things, that we were an enemy of God. But now, because of what Jesus did on the cross, when he died for our sins, the Bible says he became sin for us, and that God crushed him and put him to death. He put to death sin, and he put to death death. And since then, because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, he has purchased peace. It is a peace treaty that we have with God through Jesus Christ. So now, for those who have confessed Christ as Savior, as God looks upon us, what he sees is his Son. The beauty of the blood of Jesus Christ, painted, as it were, on the doorposts of our heart and mind. And we have peace. And here's the end of the matter. Verse 27 of Numbers chapter 6. Here's the end of the matter. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. He puts his name on you. His name is stamped on you. It's engraved on you. The psalmist says that our names are engraved on his hand, and he has engraved his name upon you. Many of you have a Bible that's sitting in your lap, and if you look on that front outside cover, your name is on the bottom of it, right? Some of you, you can't hardly see it anymore. That's a good Bible. It tells us that it's your Bible. God has engraved his name upon you. You are his. You belong to him. He has given you his name. When we have peace with God through Christ, his name is engraved on you, Christian. God has branded you as his, sealed you with his Holy Spirit himself, because in Christ, God's pleasure is projected upon you. Remember I told you that God sees us through his Son? Remember what he said about his Son? From the clouds at the baptism, he says, "Behold my Son, with whom I am well pleased." May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Well, you need God's personal involvement in your life today. Some of you need to receive Christ as your Savior today, so that you will know the presence of God in your life and receive his forgiveness, his pardon of sin. There is no other way. You can't work off your sin. He's worked it off. We receive him by faith, and he grants us forgiveness. You can know God's pleasure today and his peace through Jesus Christ. Some of you have tried to make peace in your life. True peace only comes through a settled mind and soul in Jesus. This is what Jesus does. Jesus is our high priest. Remember what I told you at the very beginning about the priest, the morning sacrifice? He would make the morning sacrifice. After the sacrifice was done, he would stand with his hands up and he would pronounce the blessing. Jesus is the high priest. He's not from the order of Aaron. The order of Aaron passed away. The Bible says he's from the order of Melchizedek. He lives forever. So one last time, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 50. This is after Jesus has gone to the cross. He has now been resurrected, and he is about to ascend to go be with the Father. And this is what it says in verse 50 of Luke 24. Then he led them out as far as Bethany. And look at this. And lifting up his hands, he blessed them. I wonder what that was. Anybody got any ideas? I wonder if it was number 6. The high priest blessing the people. Lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. That's why you come to church. Not to hear a preacher. To bless God. Christ came to be personally involved. He died tearing the veil of the temple, opening to you the very presence of God. His death has brought us peace. His curse became our blessing. And some of you today, you know that you need to be right with God. In just a moment, we're going to give you an invitation, an opportunity to walk right out of this door, go over to this hallway, and our staff will be over there and love to pray with you and share with you. But I want to do one last thing. And I want to ask all of you to stand with me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. You're dismissed. Amen. God bless you.